do?
I'm just going to
pull fission.
The Senate Finance Committee will come back to order. We will continue with our agenda on Senate File 2391, the Viking Stadium bill. And we were in the process of accepting amendments, and we would like to continue with that.
Oh, I have an amendment.
Senator Higgins has an amendment.
Madam Chair, I have the A107 amendment. And while that's being passed out, Senator Rosen, when you see this, you'll think it looks a little familiar because I picked up the language directly from the Twins bill. We have good language in the bill about hiring women and minority-owned companies and making sure they've got good, strong hiring goals. And one thing that we did with the Twins bill was it was the ballpark authority then, to have like job fairs and recruit and advertise in our minority communities with the Urban League, the Sabathany Community Center, the Native American OIC, various youth build organizations, and other such organizations that would get us good women and minority hiring candidates. So this just adds to the language that we have, and I suspect Senator Rosen, like I said, would think it looks a little familiar because we've seen it before.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you, Senator Higgins. The language in the bill right now that addresses the minority and the more minority hiring issue and employing women is on page 15, section 13. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the amendment yet.
Because somebody hasn't given it to you?
There it is.
So this just adds to it.
I think that's a wonderful amendment. Thank you, Senator Higgins.
Is there any further discussion on the A107 amendment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I have the A47 amendment. And while that's being passed out, should I go ahead? A47. Okay. This is on page 20. You have your bill in front of you. This is the subdivision that talks about what the public share should be if the team is sold. And, it's the clawback or whatever you want to call it. And I'm hoping to amend two different pieces of it on line 12. It says that a portion of the sale price goes to the authority and put in a reserve fund and can be used to improve the stadium. I think the first thing that we should do is pay down the debt, and then whatever's left can go to the authority for making improvements. The second piece of it is the actual clawback amount, the percentage of the excess, or the percentage of the increment. And what's in the bill now is 18% of the increment declining down to zero 15 years later. And the amendment would say that would be 25% for the first 10 years, then declining to 15% the next 10 years, and 10% the next 10 years. We will have a significant amount of public money in this stadium, and I believe that the amount that is in the existing bill is awfully modest compared with the amount of money that we will be putting into it. And this is an attempt to get more back to the taxpayers.
Senator Higgins, how does this compare with what was done with the Twins?
The language that's in the bill is what was in the Twins bill, if I remember correctly. But remember that the Twins were purchased at a much smaller amount of money than what the Vikings were. So the increment, if that that would go into effect, the increment would be much larger. Here, the Vikings' last purchase price was, a considerable amount of money, and I'm assuming that it will, the value of the team will increase, and the next sale price would be much larger, but still maybe not as large an increment as if the Twins were to sell sometime in the future. So, so that was kind of how I based this in trying to find a good amount of money. I think it's appropriate to, since the public is paying for it, the taxpayers are paying so much money for this, to get a significant amount of money back.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Higgins. And we've had discussions about this, in fact, within with the four leaders and Commissioner Goodell, this issue came up. And all I can say is that the language that's in the bill right now is the standard NFL language that has been done with other stadiums. It is part of the term sheet as part of the agreement. And the working group had nothing to do with it. This has been a negotiated deal there's a lot of other things that stem, give and take along the way to get a stadium bill put together. And so I would respectfully disagree with this amendment, because it does change the term sheet significantly. But I do have Steve Poppin here, the CFO for the Vikings.
Mr. Poppin.
Madam Chair, Senator Higgins, from our standpoint, we would, there was a lot of negotiation that went into the term sheet. We looked at this significantly. We looked at this in relation to the Twins and relation to what's happened in other stadiums as well. So we would, this would be one that we would have to go back to the owners and try to figure out, we pushed them to get to the 18%, and we got there, or Julie did.
Mr. Poppin, could you speak a little louder or bring the mic closer?
Sure. Sorry about that.
And also, for the record, identify yourself.
My name's Steve Poppin. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Minnesota Vikings. So, as I said, this was a term sheet negotiation that took a long time, that was negotiated with the governor's office, with the city and the authors. On this point, it's not something that we want to change, but obviously it's something up for discussion. But it is consistent with the Twins' language, consistent with other NFL deals that have been done.
Senator Nino?
Respectfully, Mr. Poppin, your negotiation today is with this committee. So I don't particularly care about external negotiations. What I'd like to hear is why this is a bad idea or a good idea.
Mr. Poppin.
Madam Chair, Senator, the clause is to protect the public, and we believe that this clause does protect the public in the event that there was a flip. This is a situation where we understand why it's in there. We understand that in the event that a stadium is approved, that it's natural for the value of the team to increase. And it was important to the state. I'm sure it's important to you to protect the state in that situation, and that's what this clause does. And we believe that the percentage that was negotiated was fair.
So, Senator Higgins, are we talking about changing it from 15 years to 20 years? Is that my understanding of the amendment?
Madam Chair, no. You're changing the 18% of the increment to 25% of the increment on line 14 of page 20. So the portion required to be paid back to the taxpayers or to the authority, the existing language is 18% of the amount in excess of the purchase price, or what I've been calling the increment, the difference between the sale price, the old sale price and the new sale price, if I understand correctly. And then it goes down every year so that after 15 years, we don't get anything back. And so the amendment would start it at 25% rather than 18%. And that amount would be in effect for 10 years, Then it would go down to 15% for the next 10 years, then down to 10% for the next 10 years. So for the life of the bonds, for the 30 years, we would get at least 10% back.
Senator Bonoff?
Madam Chair, the thing I like about Senator Higgins' approach is that the state is on the hook for the 30 years. There could be, you know, in conference, I don't know what they'd work out, you could structure it differently so that if we weren't on the hook for that 30 years. But I think what Senator Higgins is saying is as long as we're paying, we ought to share in proceeds if they're happening.
Are there any other comments? If not, all in favor of the A47 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, if I'm on a roll, I've got one more amendment, and then I'm done. The number 100, A100. And members, this takes this amends starting on page 12 and going a little ways farther. It would change. This is kind of going after Senator Magnus's line of questioning this morning. This would require the team to pay cost overruns for design and construction. It would continue having the authority be in charge of cost overruns for operating as we go forward. But as Senator Magnus said this morning, for example, in the Twins ballpark, things came up that the team thought would be advantageous for them to have, and since it wasn't part of a negotiated agreement, the team paid because it was something that they wanted, and this would be the same as if the Vikings had at some point realized that they needed something or another that was not part of the original agreement. It wouldn't be the taxpayers that would be paying. It would be the team. And so that's what this A100 amendment is.
And Senator Higgins, it does not put them on the hook, so to speak, if someone else requests the changes, but just if the team does?
Actually, I don't believe I make a differentiation. You know, I suspect that while they're constructing the stadium, the authority, the team, and the contractors, may find, I think that they will end up having some sort of an agreement on how things are paid for with the three of them. And if it's somebody other than the team, I think we'd be on the hook for it.
Senator Higgins, my concern would be, for example, if the city, and I'm assuming this might be under a conditional use permit of some kind, if they put certain conditions on what the exterior of the building needs to look like, and the team would not agree with that, but it would increase the cost, would it automatically be assumed that the team would have to pay for that?
I think the way we drafted it, that would be the way it is, but if you look on line 1.4 of the amendment, it says unless otherwise agreed to by the authority and the team. So I believe, no, I'm not taking that out. I'm saying that would allow them the discretion to negotiate it. I think the way we wrote that anyway.
You're deleting this language.
Oh, I'm deleting that. Why am I deleting that?
Because you're just saying these are very requested. They pay for it.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know Senator Magnus has something to say here, too. But I do have Craig Skeim here that can go through exactly in more clarity, because I probably didn't do a very good job this morning explaining how the authority works and how all the cost overruns and who's responsible. I know, Senator Higgins, your page 13, line 30, the requesting party is liable for any cost overruns and associated liabilities. You want that to be the NFL team. I'm not quite sure if this gets to exactly what you're thinking of, but I do have Craig Skeim to answer the questions and bring more clarity to this, to exactly who's responsible for what.
Mr. Skime, please identify yourself.
Hi, my name is Craig Skime. I'm with CSL International. I'm a consultant to the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission.
And I can't hear you.
Talk louder.
Here we go.
There we go.
Again, for the record, Craig Skime, CSL International, a consultant to the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission. Madam Chair, Senator, I think as we walk through the pages related to construction, the way the bill was put together is that the team and the authority would work together throughout the entire design process until the design was to a point where both parties signed off on the finality, if you will, of that design. That would set these minimum design standards. If throughout the process there was agreement to change those minimum design standards, which was the first part of one of your changes, then both parties would have agreed to that and that adjustment would be made. But no one can change a minimum design standard without the agreement of both parties. So that's really the first part. So that's why it says if you agree. The first thing you have to do is agree that a minimum design standard can be changed. If then it can be changed, the party requesting that change, if it is necessary, i.e. if there's additional cost, that party pays for that. So that's the way it reads now, or the way it was intended certainly, is that once you've defined these standards, no one can change those unless both parties agree. And then the party, if the parties then want to go forward with that change, the person would pay for it that requested it if it had additional cost. As far as the team taking over construction, right now the authority does have control of construction, and therefore the cost overruns is they're responsible for construction. If the team takes that over, the team would take full responsibility for all cost overruns. So the idea was really to bring this in a parallel basis to get to full agreement of the design, and then the constructing party would be responsible for getting it built on time and in budget. Certainly the authority would plan to go out and get a fixed price bid to protect that and make sure that the design and the construction costs stayed together. So if there was a need to change the design to bring the construction cost back into place, that would certainly be the intent. So that at least takes care of the first part of some of these changes. As far as Target Field goes, Target Field was indeed constructed by the team. The team did take responsibility for that. In this case, if the team took over construction, it would as well. But again, if the authority is responsible for construction, the responsibility lies there. As far as in Target Field, again, the team did put extra money into that facility, and that was certainly part of the costs that were over the original budget. There is also a provision in here that if the team requests something that's revenue producing beyond that minimum threshold as we go forward and deal with capital, that would be their responsibility as well. They would have to pay for that.
Mr. Skime, I think one of the discomforts that we have is we don't know who will be managing the construction. And so that's why the questions are being raised, I'm sure. What is the likelihood that the team will do it or that the authority will do it?
Madam Chair, and I understand certainly that's part of the question, is that we don't know. There's a provision in here, obviously, for the authority as it sits today to be responsible, but that could change to the team. The team certainly is in this business. Their core business, they have done construction. They are involved in construction projects. They have expressed an interest in doing so. But where we were today is we weren't at a point where, without knowing the full package and timing and other considerations, how to best structure that. And right now what we tried to do was set up a construction process that really allowed the team and the authority, and when I say the authority, that includes obviously representatives of the state and of the city, to make sure that the process was parallel so that it would, if you will, be a checks and balances all the way down until the final design process was completed. And at that point in time, our goal was to say that either person could really step in the construction shoes because all of the design had been completed to a detailed level that we were comfortable with. If the team decides to take over construction, that would be just fine. If not, the authority is prepared to do it.
Yeah. Senator Bono.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This goes back to a question I had earlier. Let's say, for example, the team did it, and given the team's owner's significant experience with real estate and I assume construction and perhaps relationships they may have that perhaps we, as the authority, wouldn't have. Perhaps they get to reap savings, in fact, as they go along. I've still not yet understood what happens if they can negotiate to come in under bid in various areas. Does the state's portion and the team's portion equally decrease based on construction coming in under bid?
Mr. Skime?
And one more question on that, Madam Chair. Mr. Skime, the reason why I keep mentioning it is because I don't think that generally we put enough incentives into our process to have that happen. I think in some ways the way we draft our legislation encourages people to come in more at bid or in some cases overage rather than like we did on the bridge where we put in that significant reward for coming in under, and then we did come in under.
And faster,
right, because we had a reward. So I'm looking for that reward language in the bill.
Mr. Skime.
Madam Chair, Senator, if we refer to page 14, line 24 through 27, I believe that is the reference for what happens if there are additional funds or if there are funds available, cost savings. And right now the way that that is structured is that any cost savings would go to agreed upon additions to the stadium first. So the authority and the team would agree to say, let's put some more money into this element or that element or add this component. If there are none of those, or if there's money left after that agreement, which again would be both the authority and the team, then the money would go into reserve funds for future capital reserve funds.
Senator Magnus.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, Senator Higgins is correct. I had a line of questioning earlier today about this, and Senator Rosen and I and others that were on a working group have talked about this. Mr. Skime, you've been involved in this too. Discussions on how we move ahead with this, but the key point that I got this morning again, and I think is important to have the arrangement you have in the bill is that this is different than Target Field in the fact that the Twins are there and no one else, and we're looking at a venue here with this stadium, the People Stadium, where it's going to be used for a lot of things. You know, the Twins are there 81 games plus a year. We're here. We're not looking at near as many games. And so we're looking at a lot more opportunities for other events that come up. And so former Senator Mondale talked about that earlier today and the need to have certain things in there that, you know, would support the team being successful. But also certain things in there we need to be successful to use this venue, this entity, as a sound, successful a venue that we can use to host a lot of varied events. And so I think it's just not fair to have the team foot all of the override costs in that case. I think the argument was made this morning. Again, and it was a sound argument that others need to share in this because we do have to have a successful venue for the People's Stadium.
Madam Chair,
Senator
I'll withdraw.
Higgins.
Yeah, I think
Senator Higgins withdraws the A-100 amendment. Are there other amendments? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got a couple of amendments here, oral, because they're simple, I hope. But what I'd first like to ask is in the bill on top of page 11, it's actually section, Article 1, Section 10, Subdivision 11. And on line 11.2, this is in a section that's titled, a subdivision titled Exemption from Met Council Review and Business Subsidy Act. And starting on line 11.2, that section, that reference, 116J.994, refers to when business subsidies are authorized. And this bill is relieving relieving us from those provisions. And I'd like to understand why, and my motion would be to delete that sentence beginning on line 11.2 to the end of the paragraph. But perhaps someone could tell us why that section of law should be relieved. And as I said, that I was looking at that, and it's about we've got a section of law that says that it's 116J.994 talks about when there is a business subsidy, and to grant that there are certain criteria that have to be followed and certain things. It's a two or three, four page section in law, and I just want to understand why we're relieving that law from this project.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Hahn. This section and much of the bill was actually mirrored after the target field bill. So I would like to have Ms. Kathleen Lamb address that issue, who also did the work on the target field, and give an explanation why that has to be a part of the term sheet.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Kathleen Lamb on behalf of the Sports Facilities Commission. Senator, a lot of this bill was patterned directly on the ballpark legislation, and this provision in particular is identical to what happened there. And I think the thinking there was that this is not an ordinary business subsidy. This is something different than might ordinarily be seen within the confines of that statute. And so it was accepted out.
And Madam Chair, I with all respect, I'm not finding that argument very persuasive. I don't know and wasn't intimately involved in whatever happened in the target field, but the section in law that this is exempting just talks about the that when a subsidy is granted, that there has to be some public acknowledgement of what that is and what it's for, and there has to be a description of it, statement of the public purpose for it, the measurable, specific, tangible goals, a number of provisions. It would seem to me to be a part of, if we're going to be spending public dollars and if we are going to be awarding a subsidy, a business subsidy, that those things ought to be dealt with. And the fact that we didn't do it once before, to me, isn't a good reason to say, well, let's not do it again. What is the purpose of the law if not for something like this?
Ms. Lamb.
Madam Chair, Senator, this new construction is, of course, on the same site as the existing Metrodome. And I think there is a distinction, perhaps, in business subsidies with respect to subsidies that go to other public entities and subsidies that are ultimately going to a private entity.
Well, Madam Chair, I'll just, since I'm not getting a very persuasive answer, I move to strike from the bill 11.2, starting with section to the end of the paragraph, that sentence.
Madam Chair?
Senator Higgins?
Are the provisions that Senator Hahn was just talking about, isn't that basically just a report? Or is it more than a report?
Madam
Senator
Chair?
Hahn?
No, Senator Higgins, it's more than a report. It talks about that. It's a section in the law. It's about four pages. It says that the business subsidy must meet a public purpose, which may include but not be included, a number of things. And then it goes through a set of criteria. It's about that when these things are done, that there's a certain process that has to be followed. I think that to the extent that this law is on the books, and if we're dealing with a public subsidy to a business, we should follow the law unless there's a compelling reason not to. And I'm not hearing a reason not to. So I'm just saying we should follow the law unless there's a reason to not follow the law, which is what the bill is saying we should do.
Madam Chair?
Senator Higgins.
One more question then. The purpose section that we have in the bill, which is on page 5, doesn't that basically give the justification for why we were making this subsidy?
Madam Chair.
Senator Hahn.
Senator Higgins, if that's true, then this exemption would not be needed. We have in the bill in line 11.2, it says that this law doesn't apply. So to your point, if we've already covered that, then we don't have to say it doesn't apply. So I'm assuming that whatever we're doing in the purpose of the bill doesn't meet the criteria of this statute.
Okay.
Senator Bonner?
Madam Chair, I wouldn't feel like I'm informed enough to vote yay or nay on Senator Hand's amendment without seeing what's in the statute that we would now be depending on what's in the statute. So, for example, I would be concerned if there's a lengthy process that would put certain commitments at risk, but I don't know because I haven't seen that. So I feel a little bit blind. I don't think I could vote for the amendment without having a copy of the statute. So, Senator Hand, if you might consider giving people copies and doing that at the next stop, that's up to you.
And Madam Chair and Senator Bonhoff, this isn't my bill, and I'm asking the authors to explain why we're exempting the law and why it doesn't apply, and I'm not hearing a reason. So we have a law, and all I'm saying is before we exempt it, we should hear a reason why we should exempt it, and I'm not hearing a reason. So then I think if that's the case, we ought to follow the law.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair. The only reason that I can think of is that very few stadiums or big construction projects like this are ever going to be built in this state. And as I said, this was mirrored very closely to what we did with the Target Field. We'll probably never have another opportunity to build another stadium. Hopefully we don't, and hopefully we do more of a comprehensive overview of all of our stadiums. But to take this out without justification that it's we don't understand it. I think if it was good for the Target Field and for how we look at and what needs a business subsidy going forward, I think it's part of the term sheet, and I think you have to respect that in some ways because I haven't heard of an argument to take it out, actually, a good reason to take it out. It is something that you deal with when you're dealing with these big projects like this.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Hand, can I just advise, Senate Counsel is making copies of it, and I don't know, maybe we could, if you have another amendment, maybe we could withdraw this one for the time being, and then we'd have that to look at.
And Madam Chair, certainly, that's fine. I think that the obligation should be to explain why we should exempt the law, and if you take that out, what harm does it do to the bill? But I withdraw the amendment, and if I've just got a couple other, I hope, fairly straightforward oral amendments I'd like to make. And so I withdraw that one, and I will offer to, on page 40, to delete Article 4, Section 4. And this, I believe, when Mayor Rybak was here, and I think he said this was not needed in the bill.
Madam Chair.
And so I'm moving to delete Article 7, Section 4.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, I think what the mayor said was that it probably is necessary for the repairs to Target Center to the arena because that will be more than a $10 million repair. So I would suggest we would leave it in just so we don't get our city sideways on having to go through a referendum on repairing that arena. And I see Mr. Ranieri is here, and so maybe I'm wrong, and he'll tell me differently. But
Madam Chair, my name is Gene Ranieri. I'm the IGR director for the city of Minneapolis, and I agree with Senator Higgins. That is correct. That's how we need it.
Madam Chair, and could you explain again a little more in detail? This is allowing something to be done without a or otherwise required referendum to be conducted. Is that correct?
Mr. Rainier.
Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, that is correct. Under our city charter, we have a limitation on any capital project of $15 million or more that require a referenda. What's contemplated for the Target Center would exceed that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hahn.
And if that's what the charter requires, why would we want to override your charter?
Mr. Rainier.
Madam Chair, I think to do the project, the Target Center is quite important to the city. It is a project that would be more than $15 million. We have in the past overridden the charter a couple times. We did it for the Convention Center. We've done it more than 20 times. And the reason we're asking for it is this is very integral to the city, very integral to the passage of this bill.
Madam Chair, and
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. The charter has been overridden 21 times, 23 times in the last 20 years, I believe. So it is something that is a common occurrence that happens.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a similar amendment, Senator Hahn. I wasn't going to strike the section. I was simply going to add language in there to make it clear that it does apply. But I think our two amendments affect basically the same thing. This is not just something that was in the charter. This was something that was put in the charter via referendum, as I understand it, as the result of a stadium project that the voters reacted to. So, members, by vacating this, basically what we're saying to the voters is screw you. And that's wrong. I will not vote for this bill if this provision stays in it.
Is there any more comments?
Madam Chair, I'd also like to say, though, as again, this has been overridden 21 times since it's been in place, and I do believe that we are, in essence, giving it back to local control. We are giving it back to the City Council.
Mr. Rainier?
Madam Chair, there are two provisions in the City Charter dealing with capital improvements. One is the stadium, as prepared by suggested by Senator Nienau. This one applies to the $15 million that applies to any capital, any non-stadium capital project.
Senator Nienau?
Madam Chair, I would like a roll call vote.
There's no further discussion. Roll on the amendment.
Madam Chair?
Senator Newman?
I just got confused. Does Section 4 on page 40 apply to the stadium, or does it apply to any other project that the city might want to come forward having a value of less than $15 million? I just got confused. I'm sorry.
Mr. Rainier.
Madam Chair, member Senator Newman, under our city charter, any capital project in excess of $15 million would need a referendum. So a sewer project, a street improvement project. So most of our projects are under $15 million.
So, Madam Chair, why is this provision in the bill?
Because, Senator Newman, the Target Center would be more than $15 million.
To repair.
It's Target Center in the bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, and I think the stadium part is not technically being paid for by Minneapolis. It's being taken out of the tax that the state collects and will be using. And that's why this doesn't necessarily apply. This doesn't apply to the stadium, but it does apply to that other provision.
Are there any other questions?
Madam Chair, just one more thing. This is a very important part to the City Council, and this is really a contingent upon their support for the stadium.
So noted. Senator Hahn.
And Madam Chair, I'm not sure that I understand the distinction between this and the previous action we took to delete the project in St. Paul. I'm not clear on the distinction, so I just renew the motion.
Senator Hahn renews his motion.
Madam Chair,
on the amendment.
I think this basically would kill the project.
Yeah. The clerk will take the roll.
Madam Chair.
Sir,
before that,
Senator
yes,
Rosen.
Please. I think, and thank you, Senator Langseth. This is a very, very critical part of the bill. And if this does not remain, the vote that the mayor and the City Council took last night is null and void. All the work that all these people have done to pull this bill together is null and void. And I think this is part of the term sheet. I go back to an agreement. It's not Senator Rosen's bill. It's a bill that was put together by many, many people to get to this point. And so I sincerely ask you to not take out this provision. This is a very, very important provision. Thank you.
The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonhoff. Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
Pass.
Senator Goodwin.
Yes.
Senator Hahn.
Yes.
Senator Higgins.
No.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Magnus. Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Nienau.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
No.
Senator Perry. Senator Stumpf. Chair Roebling?
No.
Senator Fischbach?
No.
I guessed right.
The motion fails on a vote of 8-5.
Madam Chair,
Senator Hamm.
Thank you. I also had an oral amendment on page 40 of the bill, section 7. Article 4, section 7, where the section says that the local sales tax requirements of chapter 297A.99, subdivisions 2 and 3, do not apply. And those requirements, as I read them, say that you have to have a referendum, I believe. And so I think, as I understand it, this bill is not supposed to be denying referendums, local referendums, for this project. So I would move to strike Section 7 of Article 4.
Mr. Rainier.
Madam Chair, members, in Chapter 297A.99, Subdivision 2, the last sentence says that this subdivision applies to sales taxes approved after June 30th, 1998. The City of Minneapolis' sales tax was approved in 1986, so I don't think Section 2 would apply. Excuse me, Subdivision 2 would apply. Subdivision 3, I think the reason it's there is because we've amended the sales tax law in 2009 and 1998 to add language but not to change the tax itself. Subdivision 3 talks about implementation and termination. We already have the sales tax law. I don't know why Subdivision 3. I think Subdivision 3 is in there just to clarify again, and we would be terminating in 2046. So I think more for clarification why those exemptions are there. But it doesn't impact our sales tax. We've had it for the last 20-some years.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Hamm.
And so maybe there can be, what is the need for the provision in the bill?
Ms. Lamb.
Madam Chair, Senator, my understanding of this provision is because the city actually implemented this bill in 1986. There was no referendum requirement that was applicable at the time, and this is to clarify that the later enacted referendum requirement does not reach back to this 1986 law because of the changes that are being made to it here.
On the motion. All in favor of Senator Hand's oral amendment to delete Section 7, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. Motion does not prevail.
And Madam Chair, I see that they've handed out a copy of Section 116J.994 that was referred to on page 11 of the bill. The bill calls for, says that this section of law does not apply, which is the regulating local and state business subsidies. And as I said, it's not clear to me why that needs to be set aside. And so request was asked for a copy of the statute that is being set aside so members have it. But I would renew the motion to delete that sentence from Subdivision 11, the top of page 11.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Ms. Lamb would like to.
Ms. Lamb.
Madam Chair and Senator Hunn, now that I've had a chance to look at this, I'd like to just make two comments. One is, as Senator Higgins indicated, most of the descriptions and requirements of statement of purpose, et cetera, are already in the bill as it stands. And the second thing is that there are requirements for wage and job goals, which are also in the bill as it stands. And I think the third thing is that my understanding of this statute was really meant for business subsidies to private entities. And so this statute has a requirement on failure to meet goals, job goals, et cetera, which I think the authority would also have in place. And so The reason that I think it was in the ballpark bill and the reason that it was repeated in this bill is because it provides duplication, and because the authority, which is going to be a public body, is going to administer this, it was seen as not necessary.
Senator Hand.
Madam Chair, and so if what you're saying is that the provisions in this law are already in the bill, then doesn't make any difference to take it out of the bill. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator, I think the intention of what's in this statute is in the bill, not to the final degree that it might be in this particular Section 116J.
Chair. Madam Chair.
Senator Magnus.
As I'm looking at this, too, and looking at the statute, the statute, as Ms. Lamb is saying, is it covers the state business subsidy agreements with the Department of Employment Economic Development. But what's got me stuck about this provision here in the bill we're looking at on page 11, line 11.3, 11.4, is it says that any tenant or other user of the stadium or stadium infrastructure. So to me, that could be the whole wide world. We don't really know today who's going to be using the stadium or any of the. Stadium infrastructure, would that include the plaza out in front, so the tailgating and things and this sort of thing? Because if we don't have this language in there to cover that, then they would be subject to this, is that my understanding?
Madam Chair, Senator. I think Senator Magnus, I think you're right. It would.
Yeah. So I think we need the language in the bill as it is. Madam Chair, as I see it, we need this in the bill to cover whoever's going to be using the stadium or the stadium infrastructure around.
It appears to me that it would require a lot of additional reporting that may already be occurring, which, you know, as we try and do a paperwork reduction, if we can. So if we don't have this, we do reduce some paperwork. But members will have to decide. Is there any more discussion on the amendment? And maybe we should have it repeated one more time. It is on page 11.
Madam Chair, it's on page 11, sentence beginning with the word section on 11.2 to the end of the sentence on 11.4.
Does everyone understand the amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail.
Madam Chair?
Senator Higgins?
I have a couple questions, if I could, if nobody else has amendments.
I do. Madam Chair?
You still do. Okay.
Senator Ingebertson, I think, is waiting.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have the A-102 amendment.
On page 21, so you can start looking at your bills.
Madam Chair and members, page 21, line 1. I thought possibly I had the shortest amendment ever seen, but I think one of the first amendments today actually offered was shorter than this, so the way things work around here, this should take 3 or 4 hours before we're done with this one. Well, that's right. We're not in judiciary right now. Sorry. Madam Chair, members, page 21, line 21 is basically adding just some language that pertains to the design and energy. The way I understand it, it was brought forward by the obviously by the wood industry in Minnesota, and it just adds to the to that amendment certification. After the word certification, insert or green building initiative, green globe certification. And what basically it is, and I in a nutshell, the way I understand it is that the Minnesota wood industry would benefit by the design and some of the products that are being used. As the bill stands right now, they would not. So it would, and I hope I'm explaining that properly. And if I'm not, I know the folks are here in the room. But I had discussions with the author, and she was good with the amendment yesterday. So stand for any questions.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a very good amendment. We did some work on this subdivision in local government with Senator Stevens' amendments, and I accept this amendment, absolutely.
Is there any other discussion about the A-102? If Senator Higgins?
Madam Chair, I'm looking at the or. So it seems to say that it could either be LEED certified or this green building certified. But there's no reason why it couldn't be both. Is that correct?
Madam Chair and Senator Higgins, I think that would leave it or would mean that it would leave it with both. Am I wrong?
Right. One or the other is usually what or means.
Maybe the folks could come up and explain that exactly what I think Mr. Robertson is here.
Madam Chair. Yep.
Senator Rosen.
Could somebody move an amendment to say insert and the green?
Yeah.
And or.
It's still, if you read ahead, though, it just says we'll make an effort.
Yeah, I see that now.
So
that was just pointed out.
It doesn't mean either or. Yeah. They were just asking them to do make an effort.
Madam Chair, my name is Mike Robertson. I represent Minnesota Forest Industries and the American Forest and Paper Association. This subdivision is a best effort. It's not a requirement to get a certification, and we would just like the option that the Green Globe certification would be there. It promotes Minnesota wood. The other certification has less ability to use Minnesota wood. If they get both certifications, that would be great, but we would like the opportunity for the Green Globe certification.
Are there any other questions? If not, all in favor of the A-102 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Senator Higgins.
Senator Rosen, is there anything in the bill that talks about a requirement to meet first-tier requirements? Requiring that the stadium has to be in the first tier of quality of stadia?
Madam Chair, I will turn that over to Mr. Skyen on that, but I believe there is certain NFL standards that have to be met. I'm not sure if they're called first tier, but there are certain standards that come out of the NFL.
But is the first tier language in?
Does somebody have a BlackBerry
Madam Chair,
the microphones? Getting quite a bit of feedback. Phones may have to be put under the table.
First class manner, but not.
I'm sorry, Mr. Skyen.
Madam Chair, Senator, I think you will find in a few different places in the document that it does refer to facilities of comparable facilities in comparable size markets and of comparable age as a requirement for certain elements, but it does not specify first tier. So what it's trying to do is make sure that this building is looked at in a group that is reasonable, i.e., again, comparable size markets with comparable buildings of comparable age.
So, Madam Chair, I've been looking at a couple of articles about the Rams Stadium, and I'll be the last to tell you I know what exactly it's all about, but they are now in a position of being required to do a lot of improvements to their stadium, or the team can opt to leave. And it's more than $100 million in renovations. And so I wanted to make sure that we didn't have something like that that would throw us into that sort of a situation where the team could opt to leave if at some point, we weren't in that first tier or in comparable situation, like you said.
Mr. Skyen.
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, I'm familiar with that language in St. Louis, and it was very specific about certain elements of criteria related to how that facility would be maintained and measured, and it had certain elements of the lease that talked about time triggers as it relates to the lease, as you just referred to. In this case, again, what we have done is certainly with any situation where you are, if you will, the landlord and you have a tenant, we have certain requirements to make sure that the facility is in the shape it needs to be and for them to conduct their business. But indeed, we have looked at those measurements, and again, that's the reasons for comparable abilities, buildings in comparable markets and comparable age, so that we were cognizant of those issues.
Thanks.
Madam Chair, Mr. Stein probably wrote the language.
Senator Nenow, did you have a question?
No, I have a couple of amendments, but I don't have a question.
All right. We're accepting amendments, too.
Okay.
All right, Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in going back to what you mentioned, doesn't that open the problem up to, if there's a change in management, let's say at the Lucas Oil Field, that triggers negatively on another stadium, or it would seem like you'd want to write some standards in, but not necessarily. Well, we need the same standards as this one by name.
Mr. Skine.
Madam Chair, Senator, a few different things. Number one, the references used a few places specifically as it relates to certain maintenance and capital requirements, not as it relates specifically to management or changes in management or any of those elements, number one. Number two, the language talks about, again, a number of facilities, not just one, and that was specific to our negotiation, that we certainly weren't going to get involved if one facility did something. That is not a sample. So we wanted to make sure it was general, as in facilities of comparable age, whatever, such as Lucas Oil Field is one of the references. But for those exact reasons, we do agree that we want to make sure that any particular single action, if you will, of someone else doesn't trigger anything. And two, again, it's tied to some specific areas that reference is made.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, I'm looking at that paragraph on page 15, and I'm wondering, for those of us who really don't know the stadiums by name very well, perhaps we should say what city the stadium is located in, just for clarity's sake. And I'd make that amendment, but I don't know where it is.
Madam Chair, it's in Indianapolis.
Oh, the Indianapolis one. Oh, okay. So, Madam Chair, on line 15.23, after the word field, I'd move to insert in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Indianapolis.
Why don't you put it after stadium instead?
She's unsure.
Oh,
Madam Chair, you're unsure as to where Indianapolis is?
I had to think. I had Indianola going through my mind. And,
close.
Only an Iowan would probably catch that reference. But I was struggling there for a minute. Sorry.
Madam Chair, this committee really needs some remedial work.
Yeah,
I'm afraid.
No kidding. Madam Chair, I think Senator Olson suggested inserting it after the word stadium instead of the word field, which I think is probably better. So, such as the stadium in Indianapolis known as Lucas Oil Field.
Currently known as Lucas
Oil. Yeah. Okay. Just move that oral amendment.
Does everyone understand that oral amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Further amendments? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll offer the A46 amendment. Sorry, I had to find the right number. A46.
A46, the A46 amendment. What page is it on so we may get there?
This would be amending page 28, and I can explain it while it's being handed out. It's fairly straightforward and simple.
There was some discussion earlier that Senator Hand precipitated, and there was some discussion about the revenue on this and if it was going to be reliable or not and if it would show up and what if it didn't and who's liable for the bonds, et cetera, et cetera. This language just makes it clear that if the revenue for those appropriation bonds comes up short, that the Vikings will make up the difference for us and the state's not on the hook.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair and Senator Nienau, the House dealt with this with some blink-ons that would go into effect if, for some reason, we were not able to make our debt service. And I guess it would be appropriate to get an opinion from the team, how they felt about this. I, again, want to reiterate that the Commissioner Franz and his numbers, I think, should be respected. And so I oppose this amendment, but I would certainly appreciate a chance for the team to say something.
Senator Rosen, the way I look at it is if the team is responsible for the amount that they have already committed to, even if their revenues don't come out the way they hope, and I would think that the state would have to be responsible for the amount that we commit to, even if the revenues don't come out the way we hope. And then we would be responsible for making up the difference with another form of revenue, you know, maybe something like Racino.
And Madam Chair, I entertain that. We've looked at many different blink-on revenue sources. Of course, you have to be very careful about those because the ones that you choose could make all the appropriation bonds taxable. And so it's very difficult to get to anything that is not going to affect your appropriation bonds going forward that aren't perceived as a tax increase. Perhaps they could be in the realm of a user fee. Some of the dollars that have been the revenue notes on some of the link-ons have been somewhat disappointing. And so I personally would love to have the electronic scratch-off lottery game as a blink-on. But that presents some problems, too. And so we've talked about this a lot.
Mr. Heppner.
Madam Chair, Senator Nienau, Senator Rosen is absolutely correct. Utilizing a private source as a backstop for the appropriation pledge would make the bonds taxable as opposed to tax exempt. And so that's one of the problems with focusing the private source capital as a backstop in the stadium bill language.
Madam Chair, also I forgot
Senator
to mention, the House is relying on tip boards, which are basically illegal. That's what the gambling board says. So they are relying much more heavily on their blink-ons because of that difference there.
Madam Chair, I will withdraw the A46 amendment, and in lieu I will offer the A103.
The A what?
103.
The A103. And which page will we find that on?
Madam Chair, this is a little bit of a larger amendment. Starting on page 28, we make some changes, and then relating to an Article 5, this basically puts Racino in as the funding source. Madam Chair, we've had some discussion here, some concerns about whether the mechanism that's in the bill will achieve the results that we want. We had concerns from Senator Perry about his basically his proposal being used and building a stadium on the backs of charities. The numbers, the author of the bill wants us to trust the numbers. We know how well we like to trust numbers around here in the budgeting process. The numbers one could say they're kind of put up on a wing and a prayer, but I'm not quite sure it's even that much. I think it's more of fairies and foo-foo dust. So Racino is a proven mechanism. We know, without a doubt, what is possible with Racino. We don't know necessarily, we hope to know, what would happen with the current mechanism, but we do know with Racino. And if we can't have a backstop from the Vikings to make up any shortfall, then let's make sure that we're not going to have a shortfall. And Madam Chair, I would request a roll call vote on this.
Madam Chair?
Senator,
I'm sorry, I got lost in the shuffle here. Did Senator Nino pull A46? I'm sorry. You did. All right.
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
I wonder if foo-foo dust has ever been talked about in the Senate Finance Committee before.
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, that's actually an old Dick Day quote.
Oh,
oh, is it really? Foo-foo dust.
Madam Chair. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nino, if you'd yield, is your A-103 amendment for Racino to replace electronic pull tabs or in addition to electronic pull tabs?
Madam Chair, I haven't gone through to engross it. My request in having the amendment drafted was as replacement. That's how it should be drafted.
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair, may I request Senator Nino, do you have a fiscal note on Racino from the Department of Revenue?
Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, I don't have one in front of me, but they exist.
And Madam Chair, just a line of questioning. I just want to make the correlation between the fiscal note of Racino from the Department of Revenue and the fiscal note of the charitable expansion, or not expansion, electronic pull tabs. You can't say one is not real and the other one is real. I think that's very unfair. This is a very difficult position to be put in because I am a very strong Racino supporter. But when Goldman Sachs was here, they said that our revenue source, the numbers are good, the numbers are real, you do not need a backup source. And so that's what I'm going after. They're the ones that would do the bonds, and I think that this could be a problematic amendment. And I, again, offer my support for Racino, but I do think it causes some problems for the bill going forward.
Senator Nino, may I ask, we did do a Racino amendment in this committee several weeks ago. It was on Senator Olson's education bill. Do you know, is most of this language like that amended language or not? I mean, we did do amendments to it, and but that in that case, the funding went for the repaying of the school education shift.
Madam Chair, my understanding is the language is basically the same, if not identical.
To what we amended in committee?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olson?
Madam Chair, Senator Nino, except for anything that doesn't pay anything back in terms of the shift or the property tax recognition shift, and then going beyond or being a backup beyond that.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair and Senator Nino, since you indicated that the Racino income is well established, maybe you can take us through how well established it is and how this money will be spent.
Well, Madam President, I think we're going to spend it to build a stadium.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Nino, I'm trying to glance through your amendment. Well, first of all, how much a year does the Racino, your amendment, raise?
We have a fiscal note in front of us.
You do.
Let me find the right numbers for you. Maybe fiscal staff can walk me through this. I've not been deeply involved in Racino personally, but we're put into a position of pick your poison, basically. When I looked at offering this amendment, number one, I had a choice between a proven across the nation funding mechanism or an unproven funding mechanism? Given those two choices, proven seems to be better than unproven. I also had the choice of a mechanism that would provide essentially what amount to slot machines in 2,000 or 3,000 locations across the state of Minnesota, or a mechanism that would allow essentially slot machines in 1 or 2 locations across Minnesota. 1 or 2 seems better than 2,000 or 3,000.
And Madam Chair, and
Senator Cohen,
Senator Nino, I might not disagree with that, but I'm trying to figure out this amendment relative to Senator Rosen's bill. Senator Rosen has indicated that the charitable gambling part of her bill matches to the need of the stadium. I wonder if there's, with your amendment, is this a one-time deal so that once the stadium is built, it goes away? Does the money continue? Is there excess money? Is there simply enough money to provide for the debt service on an annual basis? If there is more, what does that money go toward? And when the stadium is built, then what is the money used for?
Senator Cohen, if I'm not mistaken, there'd be plenty of money left over for St. Paul.
And Madam Chair, Senator, the thought occurred to me. But that, Senator Langston said that's what he told me as well. So that being the case, how much money is left over? And can you tell me how that's engrossed with this amendment? Whether it be St. Paul, Minneapolis, Rochester, St. Cloud, whatever, school shift, PCAs, whatever.
Senator Nino?
Sorry, we're just getting an update from staff here. It changes the funding mechanism, but it does not change the overall structure of the bill. So the prioritization of the excess revenue, all of that language still stays there. If we, and this is not my bill, Senator Rosen's bill, so I don't know how that's structured. If there's a spillover effect where we go through the prioritization and there's any excess that's not prioritized, that would end up in the general fund.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Perry?
Wow. The guy that takes Dick Day's place and has been pushing. I wish you would have let me know, and I would have been prepared for this, Senator. I can tell you just from background, Racino, Senator Cohen, and you sit in my committee, so we've heard this before, so I'm sure you're well aware that it's a minimum $125 million a year. I guess you can tell I'm speechless. I thought this was dead in the water. Senator, maybe we need to discuss this a little bit. How would this affect, because we all know about Racino, and we all know that we can. And I don't know that we need to go down the path of 80% of Minnesotans want it. We've had that discussion. But I guess I'm interested, how would this then, if this were to be passed, how would this affect, can you articulate how this would affect? Would it be a more comfortable thing? Would it be, or how does the NFL look at it? I imagine over time you've had to have discussions about whether this would come up and how it would fit in or if it would, I guess.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Perry, a very good question. We absolutely talked very thoroughly in our working groups about this issue because, as you can imagine, in the working group itself, there are some strong Racino supporters and other ones that felt strongly that that's not the path to go down to. And to be honest, we are trying to find a revenue stream that can be agreed upon by all the parties and somebody that's really not in the room, and that would be the Indian community. And obviously they have some issues with Racino. And so we need to get the votes on this bill and a reliable funding mechanism. And I think that's what we have with this bill. Again, I think Racino is just a wonderful project, and it kills me to say this, but it does put the bill in jeopardy because I believe that we do not have the votes with Racino as a primary funding source to move forward.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if you would indulge me a couple of minutes here. This thing's gotten obviously taking a different direction here. And as you well know, there were three gaming bills that came before Senator Perry's committee early on this year, and one of them was mine, and one was the electronic lottery machine. And if we're going to be going down the path of this, I guess I would like somebody to come forward and talk about that and give a little insight on that before we vote on this amendment. Just give a little idea as to how much revenue there is, or how this would affect Racino, how it would affect Minnesotans. It's not expanding gaming. It's simply the Minnesota Lottery being put electronic. And I'd ask if I could have Mr. Rockler come forward and give a couple comments with regards to this Racino amendment before I vote on it. Could you indulge me for a few minutes?
I will, Senator Ingebertson. Mr. Rockler.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ken Rockler, and I'm here representing the Tavern League of Minnesota and the bullion proprietors. I need to catch my breath for a second. This took a rather rapid turn on where it was going, but I just want to say this, that representing the hospitality industry, I'm sorry because I know there's some backers of it on here, but there's also a lot of backers of Senate File 116. The Racino, looking at the average bar and hospitality entity, is an obscene bill. If you look at the fiscal note on the Racino, and I do not have it in front of me, but you'll see on page 4, and I was not aware of this during some of my testimony prior to this, the Charitable Gambling Board made the analysis that within a 10-mile radius of Running Aces and of Canterbury, there would be a loss of 25% to charitable gambling in a 10-mile radius. That doesn't begin to tell you about the destruction on this. I happen to have a personal experience. I ran a restaurant in Minnetonka called T. Wright's Saloon and Supper Club, and I had a restaurant in Long Lake called Billy's Lighthouse, and I had a restaurant in Brooklyn Center called T. Wright's. We were 23.5 miles away in Minnetonka. We were 27.6 miles away in Long Lake, and I don't remember exactly how far we were away in Brooklyn Center when Mystic Lake opened up. We lost thousands of dollars a month immediately on business, and we didn't even have charitable gambling. It is almost impossible to compete with entities that have gambling on food and beverage because they give food and beverage away in order to bring in gambling at this point. Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill, which has a House companion and has enjoyed bipartisan support, I believe it's Senate File 116. There is a fiscal note on that. I don't know whether there is a copy of it right here right now, but it brings in, according to the fiscal note on it, $400 million per biennium. And that, by the way, is probably low. And the reason I say that is there are models to look at there. Oregon transfers in the area of $600 to $700 million per year to its general fund. They do have Class 3 gaming there, but they also have 9 tribal casinos. Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill, and I do have a picture of it, is not a Class 3 gaming device. I've heard people refer to it as slot machines. Not only is it not a slot machine, it is just an improved way to deliver a paper tab. That's a picture of it. And it's court-tested. It's already been tried both in the 8th Circuit Court and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals that it is not Class 3 gambling, and it is not an expansion of gambling. I would beseech you not to crucify all of the independent businesses and charities in the state and pass Racino. I guess I would look for you to maybe go with Senate File 116, which would solve problems for the charities, the businesses, and the state. You could pay your bonds off in 4 years. You could go with your general obligation bonds rather than your appropriation bonds. I don't know how you work that between the Vikings if you paid them off early, but my quick math, and I didn't have any access to the figures, show that if there is about 3.5 basis points, or I guess it's 0.35% difference in the general obligation bonds and the bonds that we're looking at doing here right now, that would save about $20 to $30 million. I know that can be considered a rounding error up here sometimes, but the average taxpayer doesn't consider that a rounding error. So there's a lot of advantages on Senate File 116. I don't know how many people are familiar and not familiar with it. I do have copies of the 8th and 10th Circuit Court of Appeals decisions. I think I've only got the 8th Circuit Court with me. But it's legal. There's no question of that. And it has a proven daily drop. So,
but Mr. Rockler,
sure.
It's not in front of us right now. So
okay.
I guess we better go back to the Racino Amendment. Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was wanted to clarify one of the things you said. Did you say, Mr. Rockler, that there was $610 million annually, and is that all the lottery funds, or is that additional lottery tickets that would be bought just because you had electronic?
No, the fiscal note on Minnesota now says $400 million per biennium, but when people are talking about the reliability of the figures, and I have some real questions about the reliability of the bill that's actually here on the gambling. Before that, you can just take a look at Oregon, which has a 15-year record and transfers about 500 to 600 to 700 million per year. And you are correct that of that amount that's been transferred, I believe that about 10% of it, or $50 million of it, has been from traditional lottery tickets as opposed to their electronic. And in all fairness, they do have Class 3 gaming, or as Senator Nino called them, slots there. But the average daily drop on these VLTs is equal to or greater than the Oregon drop.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I actually looked through this source, too, and Senator Ingebrigtsen and I worked on his bill going forward. It's $240 million a year. By the time it goes through lottery and you pay off the environment and the Game and Fish Fund and the Metro Parks Fund and the State Parks Fund, there's $104 million per year for the stadium. It's a very good deal. It is, again, a modernization of something that's already in place, already in state law, and that's our lottery tickets that you go up to the counter. However, it goes back to, again, the same issue that we're facing with Racino and the same issues that we're facing with all these wonderful ideas. We do not have an agreement going forward, which means you can do whatever you want, but in order to get the bill passed, there has to be a consensus by everybody that is the appropriate revenue mechanism. And this, the charitable ETABs and bingo games is the only thing that has been agreed upon to move forward. And there are some other problems with this also. I mean, there are people that have, that within our own caucus that have some severe issues about Racino. And so this makes this whole bill very problematic also.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Rosen, have you talked to the governor on this? I mean, I know you've talked to everybody, but where does the governor sit on a potential Racino dollars in a Vikings bill?
Madam Chair and Senator Perry, I believe the governor would be supportive to it. I believe that in order for us to get a stadium bill, we need to have both sides of the aisle. And I believe that the there's some authorships in the House that would have some very severe problems and perhaps pull the bill, as you did on this side, if Racino went on.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging that testimony. I just wanted to make a point here you can't argue with numbers that we're talking about here, and I guess it's been billed as slots and bars, as Mr. Rockler has stated, and in fact it is not. It is not expanding any gaming. It's already a constitutional amendment. But I chose not to bring that forward because of one reason. One reason is that and a big reason I think everybody should consider. I should consider the amount of work that's gone into this bill and the amount of, we've basically had a couple of legislators working very, very hard with this to bring this forward. And I'm going to honor the wishes of the chair, excuse me, the wishes of the the person that's been willing to put this all together. That's not to say that we can't come up with other ideas, but I just wanted to, there's even some members of my own caucus that just mentioned to me they hadn't even seen this thing before, and it certainly is does make some money, but I just wanted to show you how this can end up going, and quite frankly, going with Racino, I'm certainly not against Racino. If that would have been the proposal that the author would have worked on, I'd be in favor of it. However, these mechanical pull tabs are certainly going to do my rural bars and restaurants a little bit more, a lot more than Racino. You know, I'm kind of torn that way, but nevertheless, we've heard them over the last couple of years, and this is one way to allow them to get some business back and participate statewide in a facility. So, but I just wanted to put that out there, and I'm not going to make an amendment at all at this point to add it to it, but I appreciate the testimony, Mr. Rockler.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
One more thought, too, and there are some other proposals, too, and Senator Ingebrigtsen's proposal, the White Earth proposal, the Block E proposal. There are some wonderful proposals. However, you need to get agreement by all parties.
Well, you know, Senator Rosen, I'm a huge supporter of Racino. It's in my district. And quite frankly, today we are negotiating this bill. And when we talk about all this pre-negotiation, I appreciate the work that's gone into it. But in the end, we make the decisions. And so I guess that's what Senator Nino said negotiating with the Vikings. We actually have to make the decisions. And I respect the tribe's ability to set their own regulations on gaming on their lands. And on non-tribal lands, however, that is our responsibility. And so I'm going to support Senator Nino's motion. Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And one of the things I was going to do is ask you what you were going to do. So I'm grateful that you shared that. During this process, Senator Rosen, I have let you know that I thought that you'd lose votes if we used the Racino from my side. And as somebody on the working group, I felt it was important to not just represent my own thinking, but to make sure to give you the kind of counsel that would give you the best possible chance of having a bill passed. And so I know there is some very strong opposition to the Racino in my caucus. And so I want to make sure that is on the record. Yet also, I've often said, you know, when it comes before me, the people in my community actually are strong supporters of the Racino. And so I'm here to represent not just my own views, but the people in my community. And so I have voted for the Racino. I do think that at the end of the day in conference, what will have to happen is there will be negotiations, and there will only be a deal that can ultimately be signed. And so I trust the legislative process, that it is circuitous and it has twists and turns and paths that are unexpected. But that's all. Thank you.
And I know this committee did have a very lengthy hearing on the Racino proposal several weeks ago. So it's fairly familiar to us. I don't know if there's more discussion on it. We're open, Senator Cohen.
Well, Madam Chair, I was half tempted to take Senator Nino up on it and move to amend the amendment by adding Article 8, but I think that would probably complicate things. But I do want to just whether people are here for or against the stadium, whether it's a good idea, bad idea. In terms of the minority caucus, the addition of this amendment, Senator Bonhoeff, I'm not quite sure what you were saying, but my best sense of the minority caucus is this will ensure you'll need about 27 votes from the majority caucus to pass this bill. You'll have almost no votes from the minority caucus.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Cohen. We may not have a bill.
Senator Cohen, I find that an interesting statement, though. Is it because the minority caucus is opposed to gambling? Because there's gambling in this bill.
Madam Chair, it depends what type of gambling. I haven't counted votes on this bill. I haven't counted votes on a Racino. whether in the full Senate or the respective caucuses. But interjecting this, the Racino, into this issue will offer some real complications. And I don't think it's, you know, I recognize that based on our discussion, whenever it was, 2-3 weeks ago, that this committee, in a pure vote, supports the Racino. I, as you might recall, voted against it. But I'm guessing that, given the volatility of the Racino issue, and that's not exactly an exaggeration, the issue's been around for several years, if not more. I don't think anybody at this table would not suggest it's an issue of great volatility. You know, I think within the minority caucus, it creates some complications. And that would be true of any issue. But I think particularly given the volatility of the stadium issue coupled with the volatility of the Racino issue, I'd be surprised if this were to enhance passage of this bill, whether it's, you know, somebody's for it or against it. And I'm likely to vote against it in this committee meeting, but I just suggest that as more of an observer of the process.
Senator Magnus.
Madam Chair, just so I'm a little clear on this, Senator Nienau's amendment is providing the Racino then as the backup funding to the, or is replacing the funding, the pull tab funding then? Okay. And the excess funds then, Madam Chairman, Senator Nienau, then go to the general fund?
Senator Nienau?
Madam Chair, the prioritization in the bill has not changed, so that remains the same.
So, Senator Nienau, it would ultimately, any excess would go to pay off bonds. So bonded debt.
Go to bonded debt first,
Is there any further discussion? Senator Nienau?
Well, Madam Chair, if everyone else is done, I'll just make my closing comments. You know, it's interesting. I'm told, as I walk the hallways here and talk to legislators, that if we could just get Racino to the floor, it would pass. And I'm told the votes are there for a Viking stadium. If we get a vote on it, it will pass. But now we're hearing, no, it won't. Won't pass. You know, take that for what it is. But apparently up until the time I offered this amendment, there was support for the Viking Stadium to pass it and support for Racino to pass it. I tell people, I've been on both pro and con votes on Racino over the years. I've not been a big supporter of it, but I've been on both sides at different times in different contexts. But I tell people, the easy vote for me would have been come in here and just vote no. And say you're sticking it to the voters. I'm not going to vote for your bill. But we're not sent down here to vote right. We're sent down here to do what is right. And I had in front of me a flawed bill. The funding mechanism that is unproven, untested, very much in doubt. My local charities, unsolicited, coming to me saying, this doesn't work. It's all baloney. And to the extent that it does work, the notations we have in front of us, we're going to put what amount to slot machines. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I was having a conversation with him the other day, and he said it looks just like a slot machine. It's essentially a slot machine. It's like differentiating between an apartment and a condominium. It really makes no difference in real life. So we could have a bill that would give us slot machines in 2,000 or 3,000 locations across the state of Minnesota. Every little bar you walk into, you'll hear the ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. And every problem gambler will be 5 minutes away from his problem. Or we could have a solution that is proven nationwide, that is effective, that will give us more than enough money that we need to do what's in this bill that I'm told has the votes to pass and has slot machines in 1 or 2 locations. And we've heard long debates and long discussions from Senator Hahn about problem gamblers and expanding gambling and such. And I'm not going to ask Senator Hahn to get into that, but I think we can all understand that there's a big difference to drive 2 hours to a casino or drive 2 minutes to a slot machine. I think this can accomplish what the author wants and needs. The governor will sign it. We all know that. If this made it to the governor's desk, he'd sign it. If you're a Racino supporter, this is it. If you are a Racino supporter, this is it. So I don't understand all the opposition.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
There is an issue with the person that has this, that will be the author of this bill when it comes over from the House. And it's been made very clearly to me. He is not a Racino supporter. He's a charitable gaming supporter. But he cannot support Racino on the stadium bill. And he will table the bill if it's on there. And I have been very reluctant to say anything, but if it comes down to this coming on, I need to state that in respect to his wishes. So we're at a situation here where when that House bill comes over, because we do not have a Senate, the Senate gambling bill, we need to take another vehicle. And the author of that vehicle has made it very, very clear Racino cannot go on.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, does the House author support having the backup being the Hennepin County tax for Target Field? Is he okay with that?
Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair and Senator Olson.
That's a deal breaker.
I understand that, and that's why we're going to conference committee, because that is a problem for this Senate author.
He's okay with that. He's okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, this is really tough, because in my Senate district, this was part of what I ran on. And that's why I'm inclined to support this, because my people sent me here with that. And if it's going to conference committee, then I think they're going to have a lot of hashing out to do. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, and that's really what conference committees are for, is if the author on the other side is that totally against, I mean, we get to conference committee and you do all the negotiations. And you know, I have to represent the Senate District 26, and they're the ones that sent me here, and I hate to see it affect the Viking Stadium one way or the other, but we'll have to put all, if it were to pass, I guess we just have to put all our energies towards those conferees that are in the conference committee, that they can work something out that is best for all the citizens in the state of Minnesota.
Madam Chair, I was wondering what wording change would have to be in here to say that this is an addition rather than replacement. Because that would put, I think, the author in a pretty good position that she has both, that she can negotiate with.
Mr. Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Langseth, if you were to move to delete page 1, lines 3 through 11, that would eliminate the language that substitutes the Racino revenue for the electronic pull tabs, and it would make Article 5 an additional revenue source. If you look at page 10, line 11 of Senator Nino's amendment, it makes it clear that all the Racino revenue would be deposited in the general fund.
Madam Chair, I so move.
Senator Langseth moves an amendment to Senator Nienau's amendment, which would, Senator, or Mr. Bonner, would you repeat that one more time?
Madam Chair, the motion would be to amend Senator Nienau's amendment, the A103 amendment, to delete page 1, lines 3 through 11. And then page 1, line 12, while I'm at it, and just to make it clear here, the renumber the article, Article 6. And then on page 10, line 24, I overlooked this in the first instance, delete line 24, and that would retain Article 7 in the bill.
Madam Chair, I really think that's the right way to go.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, Senator Langseth, one of the we've been talking about that too and have considered that. One of the concerns I have over that approach is those who are so against the expansion of gambling. Now, if we do both in the same bill, are we going to get that much more resistance from those who that was my concern.
Madam Chair, I would say those people are probably going to vote against it anyway.
Okay.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, just to be clear, Senator Langseth's amendment to the amendment is basically throwing both gaming mechanisms into the bill.
That would be correct, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, we obviously know not all that money is needed, so... But I think that's the way out of this this committee is to send the option out there.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, question for the author. Senator Rosen, which is your preference with regard to what Senator Langseth offered?
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Senator Bonner, I'm in trouble either way.
So no opinion?
I'm in trouble with Racino, Madam Chair, going on to the bill.
She wants her original bill.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, just to make it complete, if Senator Langseth's amendment passes, can we add the school shift?
Senator Cohen, that's very interesting because I was trying to respect the author's wishes. But there's a proposal like that out there.
Senator Cohen, I think I've seen Senator that, and I would maybe even add Article 8 back into it. Because I want to be the favorite senator for St. Paul.
We'll build a Senator statue Cohen. Of you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, with the leftover money.
Madam Chair, Senator Cohen. Am I mistaken? Haven't we tried to pay back the school trust just recently?
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, we can do it in all one fell swoop.
No.
So we do have Senator Langseth's amendment to the amendment, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, are we ready to vote?
I'd like to know how Senator Nienau would respond to that.
Well,
Senator Nienau.
I think it makes my amendment worse, but not completely unacceptable. I would oppose it, but if it passes, I'm not going to table my amendment.
It does provide options.
Right.
So on Senator Langseth's motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Nay.
The motion does prevail. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Then on the amendment, any further discussion?
Madam.
Senator Nina?
I do have one more amendment.
To the amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have to take the full amendment now. All in favor.
Madam Chair, Senator Nina asked for a roll call.
Of the amendment as amended. Did you say a roll call, Senator Cohen?
No, Senator Nienau did.
I did.
Oh, sir. Okay. On the amended amendment, we will take the roll.
Senator Bonner.
Yes.
Senator Cohen?
No.
Senator Fischbach?
Yes.
Senator Goodwin? Senator Han?
No.
Senator Higgins?
No.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
I'm sorry, I was under discussion. Was this for the amendment?
the amendment.
This is for the racing.
The amended.
He has both. As amended.
As amended. Yes.
Senator Langseth.
Yes.
Senator Mignus.
Yes.
Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Nenow.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Perry.
Yes.
Senator Stump.
Yes.
Chair Roebling.
Yes.
Chief.
I figured it
was so smart.
On a vote of 11 to 3, the motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, are there no more amendments? Oh, there is. I'm sorry.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A49 amendment is on page 21.
You can get the sense on there.
Madam Chair, can I over here, Senator
Fishbach?
Madam Chair, may I just make an inquiry about how long we are? Are there a lot of amendments left? Are we going to go for a while longer? We're holding up session. I've got conference committee. There's a whole lot of other things going on, and I'm just curious so that I can make some plans.
I realize, Senator Fishbach, we are holding up the entire Senate because they can't convene as long as we're here.
Well, we could convene, and then you would have to.
And we would have to recess. That's right. You're right. I don't think there are many more amendments. Looking around the table, there's one written amendment left.
All right.
And maybe it won't be offered. I don't know.
Is your intent to go directly to a final vote?
That would be my intention.
Thank you.
Yep. Are we doing a recorded?
Senator Nenow, would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to actually offer this with an oral change. In addition to the language on the A49, I would also like to include striking the sentence on 21.16 through the period on 21.18.
Okay.
So I'd offer the A46 with the additional portion that would strike the sentence that starts on 21.16 through the period on 21.18.
Excuse me, Senator Nenow, that's a 49. Number
Senator Mignus?
The 49 amendment, not 46.
Yes. Madam Chair, it's getting awful noisy in here.
It is. Order in the room, please. Senator Higgins?
Madam Chair, deleting the first sentence of the subdivision 15 makes the rest of subdivision 15 make no sense. Can't just start talking about the authority and the NFL team may enter into an agreement providing the terms of such an arrangement provided without saying what it is.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe.
Senator Nenow.
Madam Chair, maybe if council wants to work on I missed a portion of this language when I had an amendment drafted, and that's what I attempted to address in my oral change there. If council wants to work on that while I discuss the intent of my amendment, then we can get the actual proposed language if that would be acceptable to the chair.
Madam Chair, there's a misspelled word in the amendment of what you're deleting. Additional, rather, you've got only addition.
And the amendment needs that little correction. But go ahead and explain.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and this isn't a particularly complicated approach, so I think council can get this put together pretty quickly while I'm describing this here. The language that I'm addressing and changing and deleting on this page, this would be a state for a five-year period. It would do a couple of things. It would, number one, create a state-sanctioned monopoly to what I presume is one person. And in addition, would let them operate at no rent. This is for a Major League Soccer team. And I just find that problematic that we would be picking out what I assume, and I'll ask the author here, what I assume is one person, to give them a guaranteed monopoly for a period of time, regardless of whether someone else maybe would come in and want to bring in a Major League Soccer team, they would not, and to play at this facility, they would not be allowed to do so based on the language in this bill. But barring that, even if that didn't happen, if indeed the team was brought in, this is a professional sports team, and we would be giving them free rent in a stadium that we would be spending hundreds of millions of dollars of subsidy money to operate. And I find that problematic. But I will ask the question of the author, exactly who does this benefit? It's very tightly defined.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nina, this benefits the state because I don't know how many other Major League Soccer teams or owners want to move a league into the state. That would make, what, five professional teams that we'd have in the state? It would benefit the entire state if we were able to multi-use the stadium. And frankly, the Vikings are putting in over 50% of the cost in the lifetime cycle of the stadium. I think that's a pretty big it's one of the largest contributions in the nation. So for them to take a leap of faith and want to bring in a professional soccer team and develop a fan base that's going to generate revenue and develop economic development in our and bring in our and increase our revenue into our hotels and our hospitals, our bars, why would we not want to give them an opportunity to do that, especially since they have over 50% of the cost and life cycle cost into this?
Senator Nino?
Madam Chair, maybe I'll restate my question and be a little more clear. Is this geared towards the Wolf family?
Madam Chair, yes, it is, Senator Nino, because they're the only ones that really are looking to establish a soccer league, and I think that's a new path that we should look at. If they bring in a Major League Soccer team, and they want to put a retractable roof on and make that investment, that's their responsibility. That's their cost. I actually think it's a great deal, and we should applaud them for wanting to make an investment back into the state in this arena.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that part, Senator Nino, for me, it would be like, I think what's in here as a businessman, I'm going, well, if I had a building and I would throw this back on to the council, the sports council, they could make a decision if the Will family came to them and said, hey, you know what? We have an opportunity to try something that could benefit and grow here. Would you allow us these dates for 5 years? Is that what I'm seeing here? So, and I don't know if there's I'm not quite sure where you're going with this one, but I kind of look at it as hey, we're encouraging you to bring this other team, and if it works out in 5 years, then maybe we're going to have to do some kind of a rent or something. I guess as I understand it, the Wolves will be picking up the operational cost anyway on that. Is that correct, Senator Rosen? So, Senator, yeah, I think it's, unless you're going to explain something different there.
Mr. Bagley, you're here to address this issue?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members, Lester Bagley, Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development for the Minnesota Vikings. First, we think that this amendment would effectively eliminate an opportunity, at least for our organization, to acquire a Major League Soccer franchise. We've had a number of conversations with the MLS. Senator Perry is correct that the agreement that has been negotiated, I understand it's been negotiated separately, but it was an agreement that was negotiated carefully between state leaders, the city, and the team over a period of several weeks and months that included this opportunity to secure for Minnesota a Major League Soccer franchise. We have a 5-year window according to the legislation, but to Senator Rosen's point, there is tremendous economic activity in Major League Soccer. There are 18 home games. There are 17,000 soccer fans is the average MLS soccer team MLS soccer teams average 17,000 fans league-wide presently. And the most important point is that it will cost somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 million to acquire the franchise.
Senator Nino?
Mr. Bagley, is there anyone else interested in bringing an MLS team to Minnesota?
Mr. Bagley?
Not that I'm aware of, Madam Chair, Senator Nino.
Senator Nino.
But again, if this would maybe should be more clear, more than likely eliminate our interest in bringing a franchise to this market. And again, it's to Senator Rosen's point, the economic activity of having concessions, which are taxed, tickets, merchandise, having visiting teams pay income tax in the state is significant. So, you know, it's to the we'll you know defer to the will of the committee, but you know our view is that this would eliminate our interest in this opportunity.
Mr. Bagley, I just want to get a clarification. So, there's a 5-year window that the bill would allow, as it's presently written, that they could bring the team here and even so they would have that exclusive right for 5 years, and then if they brought them here, would they also have 5 years of rent free, or would that be an ongoing consideration?
Madam Chair, I believe it's an ongoing consideration. I think the team would pay the operating cost, to Senator Perry's point. The team would cover all the expenses that it would take to host MLS games, game day expenses, municipal services, those services.
Which may be, when you think about it, members, if we're only going to be raising $2 million in other revenues typically from all the other events that may be held at the stadium, those other entities aren't paying their full operating costs either. It would not appear that would be the case. So, from that sense, they would be paying at least for all their operating costs, and we would not be subsidizing that at least.
Madam
Senator
Chair.
Rosen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure exactly why we'd want to close this door. I think we should allow this door to and this opportunity to happen. And as it says on line 24, game day costs, marginal costs will be incurred by the soccer team. So this is a win-win, really, for the state, I believe.
Senator Nino?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose of wanting to offer this amendment is twofold. There's two problems that I personally have in there. First of all, it's the state picking a winner. We are giving a 5-year exclusivity window, regardless. There's no contingency clause, regardless of whether someone else might want to come to the state and say, hey, we'd like to bring an MLS expansion team or move one over, and we'd like to play in this facility. If this was law, they could not. They could not. We are preventing that. We are picking one single winner for that 5-year window. And the second part you touched on, Madam Chair, this is an ongoing, essentially free rent. They cover the costs. I understand that. But it's an ongoing free rent regardless of, who knows, MLS in 10 years could be as big as the NFL. I doubt it. But if it were, they'd get it rent free. And to my understanding, if this is a great deal for the state of Minnesota, that could be negotiated 5 years at a time or 10 years or 1 year. Or there's nothing that I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but there's nothing that would require a contract to include anything other than operational costs if the sports facility or whoever negotiates these lease agreements and the administration, the Dayton administration, thought this was a great opportunity. We can certainly offer those enticements, but my problem is putting it into statute and picking a specific winner and blocking out any other potential competition and then providing an ongoing free rent provision in a facility that's being subsidized hundreds of millions of dollars by the taxpayer of the state. That's my problem. I would not have a problem with free rent if that made sense for a startup team to bring them in and just say, you know what, for 5 years, here's your lease, cover your costs. We're not going to charge you rent because we know it's a startup business and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But if after 5 years it's extraordinarily successful, I think it's legitimate to have that renegotiated, not have to come back here and change state law. All of you that work down here at the Capitol know what that means. And when you get an organization that has the lobbying skills of the Vikings, they would clearly want to oppose that. And that's much more difficult than just renegotiating a contract. And that's my problem with putting it in the bill.
Senator Magnuson, then Senator Olson.
My question, Madam Chair, and I didn't catch if Mr. Bagley said this. How many games a year would this be? How long is the soccer season? How many games do we have? Home games will we have, or potential home games in playoffs if we got to that point?
Madam Chair, Senator Magnus, the MLS season begins in the late spring, so it fits well with an NFL season. There are, I believe, 17 regular season home games, one or two preseason games. And again, the league average is 17,000 fans, and the cost to acquire a franchise is between $30 and $40 million.
Senator Olson.
Well, Madam Chair, this isn't refined in any way, but I could understand your amendment if in fact, the Vikings did not, the owners did not pursue the soccer arrangement within these 5 years, that if you opened it to anybody else to pursue it, then they should pay rent. The Vikings have invested a fair amount in that stadium and in its maintenance. I don't think you can just ignore that for someone else and necessarily feel an obligation to provide the competition at this point. But if you did have, at some point, whether it's, I prefer we didn't do it today, thank you, If they didn't pursue it and the commission felt that there was interest in doing it, they would, any other team coming in, would have to pay commensurate to the share of the maintenance and rent and so on. But if the current owners pursued it, they have made a significant investment. So I don't think that just opening that up is necessarily fair.
Any further discussion? Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I still go back to this now knowing I had no clue that it's $30 million, but, man, wouldn't we – I mean, how many communities opened up their arms for $30 million if an entrepreneur wants to take a chance, then the building's there, it's being maintained. I just don't know why we wouldn't want to just, for me, for one, I don't know why that's in here. I figured we're really micromanaging. I figured that would be something that the Sports Facilities Commission would work out with the team owners. And team owners say, hey, we want to invest $30 million, and we'd like to have rent free for 5 years. Can you help us out here? Well, I can't imagine anybody that would say no. And I just don't know that I'm comfortable with a potential opportunity like that, somebody that would take that kind of chance. I mean, we've given more, and some communities have given more over many, many years just to get things like Walmart in and some of these box stores. So I guess, Senator Nienau, I'm seeing it differently, and I guess I would be more inclined just to vote against your amendment. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, it sounds like, let me just ask, will the soccer field be inside or outside? I'm looking at the picture that Mr. Mondale, in the thingy,
It looks to be a soccer field kind of over here. So,
Mr. Bagley.
Madam Chair, Senator Higgins, the stadium that has been designed, you know, in collaboration with the Sports Commission is designed internally to program for Major League Soccer, amateur baseball, all those costs that we're contributing to, including Major League Soccer. The soccer field in general, which would, you know, obviously host Major League
Inside,
Soccer.
Yeah.
Inside.
So this is just Hui?
Yeah. No, I think the Madam Chair, or Senator Higgins, one of the ideas for the plaza space, is programmable space, that there's hopefully enough room out there for soccer games and other activities. I think that's one concept that could occur outside of the stadium. But for a Major League Soccer franchise, the games would be played inside.
Mr. Bagley, since a lot of people like to see soccer played outside, would that mean that you might decide at your expense to do a retractable roof?
Madam Chair, I think that is something that we have discussed. I think right now the term sheet, and I think it is important, and I know there was some discussion about this earlier about our negotiations and what they mean to the legislature. And, you know, we have negotiated in good faith. We've been patient, and we've worked with state leaders for more than 10 years. And this term sheet that's before us and this legislation that's drafted to reflect the term sheet has been carefully negotiated with state leaders. And we have agreed to, the Vikings have agreed to contribute $427 million up front, with the third largest capital contribution in private contribution in NFL history. We've agreed to pay $13 million annually, which is the highest rent payment in the NFL for a team that is a tenant. And all of these things were negotiated at length and carefully, and the public protections are in there. And part of the agreement includes a 30-year lease, which was discussed earlier, and we have concerns about that. Part of the agreement certainly includes an opportunity for our organization to pursue a Major League Soccer team. So I understand how the legislative process works and what we're trying to do and make something work for the entire state. But I also think we need to honor the work that we put in negotiations, as well as the patience and our negotiations in good faith to put this package together.
Okay, thank you. I think we need to move on this amendment. Senator Magnus.
Another question, Madam Chair, is I know we have a surcharge on suites that we get. How about parking, any other income we have from the area? With this provision, where would that go? Have it go to the Sports Authority yet, since it's not an NFL game? It's an MLS game, so that's the question I got. Where that other money? Because you're looking at, Madam Chair, I'm asking because we're, you know, as I crunch the numbers here, we're looking at potentially 150, 200,000 people a year just going to the MLS games, and so obviously we got parking, we've got suite rentals, we've got concessions, this sort of thing. That's other revenue streams that. I don't have sorted out in my mind.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. The authority would receive all the revenue for MLS for any
parking.
Okay.
And
Senator Magnus.
And Madam Chair, and as I read the bill, the suite surcharge goes into that too then.
Into the authority.
Yeah.
Senator
yeah.
Rosen, what so, was okay. your response?
Madam Chair, into the authority, yes.
Yeah. So it's not totally cost-free. We are going to get something out of this.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, I, too, am going to oppose the amendment because I remember those early discussions, and I was one of the ones who really thought there should have been a broader revenue sharing on the soccer team, so I had the opportunity to negotiate that back and forth and argue and did end up consenting to the way it is because I see the huge opportunity for us, and so I'm very excited about that opportunity. So the other thing I want to say about that is I concur with Chair Roebling's comment that I hope, as you pursue the soccer team, that you will strongly consider the retractable roof and what that would bring to that opportunity.
Madam Chair?
Senator Higgins?
On that note, if you change to a retractable roof, who pays for it? Madam Chair?
Senator Rosen?
The team would pay for that.
Pretty much so.
It clearly states in the bill.
Yep.
We should probably...
Just one last closing comment on my amendment. Actually, I think I need to reoffer the proper language.
Correct. I was just going to ask Mr. Bodden to restate the language.
Madam Chair, on the Nino amendment, on the A49 amendment, make the one correction on page 1, line 3, delete addition and insert additional, and then it would incorporate the following changes made to the bill. On page 21, line 16, delete everything after the second period. On page 21, delete line 17. On page 21, delete on line 18, everything before delete everything before the second the. And then on page 21, line 19, delete such, and after arrangement, insert to establish Major League Soccer at the stadium.
So moved.
Okay. On that motion, Senator Eno.
Madam Chair, just a real quick closing comment. Senator Rosen, I think the provisions in here, they make sense, and I think it would be the right kind of thing to do for the Vikings bringing in an MLS team. My problem is writing it into law and having the legislature pick winners, grant statutory exclusivity, and then the perpetual rent as opposed to negotiate. That is just not, in my opinion, law is not the right place for that, and that's why I'm making the motions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
And thank you, Senator Nita. I fully understand that. This is part of the negotiated deal, and it is a very integral part of the term sheet and the deal going forward, and there was give and take all along, and this was an important piece for the team to make that huge contribution or investment into the stadium. So I think I would ask that you oppose this amendment.
So on the A49 amendment as amended, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
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 The motion does not prevail.
Madam Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, on page 22, the sentence that starts on line 12 with the word notwithstanding, it says notwithstanding section and rules about an environmental impact statement. And the first numbered clause is the environmental impact statement shall not be required to consider alternative stadium sites. I think this is probably old language, and since we are picking a site here, I'm not sure of the wisdom of having that in there yet, and I'm wondering whether it should be deleted.
Ms. Lamb?
Madam Chair, Senator Higgins, my recollection of 116D04 subdivision 2B is that it requires the evaluation of alternative sites. And so what we're doing here is saying, notwithstanding that, you don't have to evaluate alternative sites because we've picked one. Okay. That was the intent.
Any further questions? Senator
yes.
Newman?
Are we on general questions at this point, Madam Chair?
I'm waiting for a motion, probably.
Are you offering an amendment, Senator Higgins?
No, I just had another question.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can wait until
so
Senator.
We are still, if there's any further amendments, I'd like to get those done.
I'll wait until we're off.
If there's no further amendments, are any final comments, Senator Higgins?
Madam Chair, on page 21, subdivision 14, what is a stadium builder's license?
Good question.
Madam Chair, Senator Higgins, it's what is currently known as personal seat license. Personal seat licenses. It's what they call them now.
Huh. Thank you.
Any other questions from the members? Senator Newman?
Has the bill been moved?
Not yet.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the bill when it's in order.
Senator Newman, do you have a question before we take the vote?
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. And this would be just an open question to whomever may be able to answer it, and maybe a stupid question. I don't know. But if we go to page 6, beginning at line 15, we have got the stadium defined, stadium cost defined, stadium infrastructure defined, stadium plaza defined, and stadium site defined. And it looks to me like, at least I think I'm reading it correctly, that stadium infrastructure and stadium site is included in the stadium costs. I'm not sure about the stadium plaza. So my question is, of the stadium cost, stadium infrastructure, stadium plaza, and stadium site, what is included in the state's share of $400 million and what is not? And if there is any of it that is not included in our $400 million, how much is that going to be?
Who wants to take that?
Madam Chair, Senator.
Mr. Skye.
All of those items included within the parameters of what we'll call the stadium site are included in the estimates. So that would include the plaza. And I think if you look at line 6.21, infrastructure shall mean plazas, parking, so on and so forth. So it's intended to encumber all that. That's what the costs include. So there are no additional costs outside of that.
Senator Newman?
So just to be very clear here, the state's total cost here is the number of just under $400 million, and that includes everything. There's any outside costs for getting to the stadium or electrical or streets or whatever the case might be. We're looking at $400 million.
Madam Chair, Senator,
yes,
398, yes.
Very good.
Senator Higgins?
Madam Chair, I see parking here. How many new structured parking stalls will be built? What will that cost? Who pays for it? Who's going to be in charge of operations, maintenance, operating losses? Who gets the game day revenue? We haven't talked at all about parking.
Mr. Skye.
Madam Chair, Senator, parking is part of the project. There are plans to build some structured parking as a part of this that will be worked on further as the design is further refined. But indeed, there are provisions for some parking within the cost. The parking would be run and controlled by the authority. The authority would collect revenues from those parking spaces. During Vikings games, there are provisions to provide parking in those facilities to make sure that there is a minimum threshold of parking that is in here. But the authority is responsible for it. The authority would collect revenues from it, and the authority would maintain and operate them.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I heard your answer, but if it's the authority, does that mean it's the state that is going to pay for that?
Mr. Skye?
Madam Chair, Senator, it's part of the operating costs that the authority has talked about early on today, and there's about $20.5 million of operating costs that are anticipated. Those costs would include the costs related to parking, and those are paid for out of a payment from the team for $13 million and the allocation of convention center taxes for 7.5 getting to the 20.5, which is actually the operating and capital maintenance of those facilities.
Are there further questions? Senator Hand?
I assume that we're getting close to
we
vote.
Are, Senator Hand. We so would really like to take the vote.
Then I'll just make my comments very brief, and in anticipation of the vote, I'd like to ask for a roll call vote when such a motion is made. But Madam Chair, and I believe that this bill is not what we need to have, what we should have to facilitate the team. I think most of us, and I certainly believe that it's a good thing to have the professional football team in the state of Minnesota, and I support that. However,
I think that there's a couple of things about this bill that are troubling to me. One is that it is clear that we have an obligation on the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota to be the final backstop in the funding of this project. We have a revenue stream that has been questioned. We've had some debate about that. I think, as Commissioner Franz has pointed out, that this is a regressive tax, as all sales taxes are, on, I think, a segment of our population that is probably least able to afford that tax. It's going to have an impact on charities as well. And I think to use that as the primary revenue stream to support this project that is going to benefit largely a billion-dollar corporation is very troubling. And so, Madam Chair, and with all respect to the people who have worked on this, I do not think that this is in the best interest of the people of the state of Minnesota. I think that is compared to other economic development projects that we have supported as a state over the years, this is unique. This is not the way that we typically try to encourage development, business development in the state. And so, Madam Chair, I do intend to oppose the bill.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm sorry. Well, you make the motion first.
Madam Chair, I move to re-refer Senate File 2391 to the Taxes Committee as amended without recommendation.
On that motion, Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, I just want to make closing comments, and I mentioned this earlier. Earlier in the day, I publicly stated that I was willing to make the motion to move this over to the Tax Committee. And then I realized that we had the provision in there that vacates the city charter and completely circumvents the electorate. Not like with the Twin Stadium where we just decided to put it to a vote to county commissioners or something. This is in your face. Members, realize this. This is in your face to the voters. Because the provision in the city charter that this legislation vacates was put there by referendum in direct response to a stadium tax. Let me restate that. What you are vacating in the Minneapolis Charter was put there by the voters in direct response via referendum because of a stadium. And now you're going to tell them, too bad, get lost. Your voice doesn't count. And that is wrong.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, I hadn't intended to speak, but I do want to set the record straight with regard to the comments that Senator Nino has stated. The part in this bill that refers to the charter does not relate to the stadium. There is not a need for, according to the charter, there is not a need, as the attorneys have told me. That's the information I currently have. There is no law currently on the books that would require a referendum for the stadium because these taxes are collected by the state and they have the authority to redirect them after the convention center is paid. What Senator Nino is referring to is if the city of Minneapolis chooses to spend in excess of what the charter requires to refurbish the Target Center, and certainly one can debate whether or not they should or should not do that, but I would not want the people of Minnesota to think that this committee said that they did not have the right to vote on something that law gave them the right with regard to the stadium.
There's no more comments. The clerk will take the roll.
Senator Bonoff.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Goodwin.
Epstein.
Senator Hahn.
No.
Senator Higgins.
Yeah.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes.
Senator Langseth.
Yes.
Senator Magnus.
Yes.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Nienau?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Perry?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
Yes.
Chair Roebling?
Yes. On a vote of 9-5, The motion does prevail, and the bill will be re-referred to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
The meeting is adjourned.
Can we keep on going for a while?